What about the patient who you don't want to use a taxane in? Maybe they've got diabetes or neuropathy, et cetera.
If there is someone who otherwise meets the E2100 criteria but has some specific contraindication to a taxane, I would feel comfortable using one of the regimens that we have some safety and efficacy data for. That certainly would include the capecitabine data from our previous randomized trial. There is data with vinorelbine from a phase II trial done at the Dana-Farber. There is data from a small phase II trial with docetaxel if their problem is specifically with a paclitaxel-related toxicity. And there certainly are data in other diseases, though it doesn't particularly get you more options for breast cancer.
What about the Cytoxan methotrexate metronomic thing?
I have done that.
In the first line setting?
Absolutely. And I should probably quit now because everyone I've done it in has responded to, so I'm probably headed for a string of patients who won't respond.
How many patients?
Four so far. So I think that would be another very reasonable option. It wouldn't be my first choice for most of those patients, just simply because we have such limited data without a randomized comparison. But I think for those patients who have contraindications to taxanes, who are adamant that they don't want IV chemotherapy, who are adamant that they don't want alopecia, that would certainly be a very reasonable option for those patients.
What about patients who've had adjuvant taxanes within the last year?
I'll give you two answers to that. Any of the non-taxane regimens for which there is safety data, I think, would be reasonable. Though I think the expectations for those patients should not be particularly great. Those patients were actually allowed to enroll in the capecitabine trial. If you had had an anthracycline and taxane-containing adjuvant regimen and progressed within 12 months, you could enroll in that trial, the capecitabine with or without bevacizumab trial, as your first metastatic therapy. About 15% of the patients in the trial actually were in that group of patients. They did miserably, and they did miserably with both therapies. There was still a slight increase in response rates.
I mean, people who relapse that fast in general don't do too well.
They do terribly, and you can slightly increase their response rates by adding bevacizumab from the capecitabine experience. So the difference is less. The response rates are even less than we reported in that trial, and the progression-free survival is even shorter. So it's certainly worth a try, but I think people need to realize that those are patients who have very aggressive refractory disease. And if there is some other investigational approach available to them, I would feel quite comfortable recommending that they try something even more novel if it was available.
Are there any situations where you think it might be justifiable in a non-protocol setting to continue bevacizumab on progression and switch chemotherapies? For example, a patient who had a great response for a long time?
No. Whether there would be benefit in that setting, we truly don't know. We have no clinical data and we have no laboratory data that addresses that question at any level. I think it's a critically important question that needs to be studied, both for what it might tell us about biology as well as the practical and financial implications that it has for all of our patients. But outside of a protocol setting, I wouldn't do it.